You're listening to Amud v'Chazara with Daniel Eisenberg, Masecha Shabbos, Daf, Samach, Zayin, Amud Beis, and we are starting a brand new perek, perek Klal Gadol, which is exciting. I think on Ayin Gimel we're going to have the Lamates Melachos, the introduction to them, finally. But over here we're going to have some general principles, or I guess a klal gadol, a general principle of Hilchos Shabbos in general, and then it'll lead into the discussion of the Lamates Melachos and how to understand the role of a melacha, why we have different melachos, what the nafkamina is. Well, we'll mention Derech Agav, especially as guided through Rashi over here, but let's take a look. So the Mishnah begins. Klal Gadol Amar B'Shabbos. They said a major rule or a general principle regarding Hilchos Shabbos, and we're going to see it's regarding bringing a Karban Chatas if you violated it B'Shogeg. Now the Gemara is going to discuss what the significance of this phrase Klal Gadol. For now, Kol Shukeach Iker Shabbos. So let's first mention a different klal gadol, or just a klal when it comes to a karban chatas. So if there's certain isurim that you violate, that over here, if you do it b'shogeg, so obviously if you do it mazid, then the punishment is skila. If there's proper, proper hasra and edus, so edim warned a person and met all the conditions, and the edus was accepted, then they would get skila. Otherwise, kares. But if they violated b'shogeg, so it's a karban chatas. Now, the definition of b'shogeg. Well, there are a few different things that could be that can make it b'shogeg, not intentional, unintentional. So it could be, and there it's referred to as if someone is unaware of something, so that could make it b'shogeg. So it could be he's unaware that it is Shabbos. It could be he's unaware that something is usher on Shabbos, actually included in the hasra. Part of the importance of Hasra, of the Edom warning the person, is that they are informing him that it is indeed Usr, and they are also warning him of the punishment. So he knows about the gravity of it as well. But so somebody doesn't know that something is forbidden, and he does it, so that could be Shogeg. If somebody doesn't know that it is Shabbos, so that could also be Shogeg. We're going to see if somebody doesn't know about the concept of Shabbos after all. That also could be shogeg. Now, the time where he's unaware of something is referred to as helem, right? Hey, ayin, lamed, mem, which is lashon of to be hidden, to be blocked, right? So so during this, he's going to be chayv achatas for each, period of helem of. You know, a moment of time where he was unaware of something. So over here we have Hashocheach Iker Shabbos, somebody who forgets the main essence of Shabbos. Meaning, Rashi says, "Kisavur ain Shabbos b'Torah." He said, "I've never heard of Shabbos. I've never heard of." He forgot. We're gonna the Gemara is gonna be medayik on that lashon of he forgot or he never knew. But let's say someone right now is unaware of the concept of Shabbos. You say, "Hey, good Shabbos." He says, "What in the world is that?" Okay, so this person violates Shabbos. Vasa melachos harbe b'shus vasos harbe. Says Shabbos. What's Shabbos? It's the day of rest. The day of rest. Yeah, we do it every Saturday. Every Saturday. Yeah, we don't do any acts of construction or anything like that. We don't write. We don't say, "Oh, wow, that's so fascinating. I actually spent the last 30 years every single Saturday doing all of those things. That's my recreational day." So what does, I'm really glad you told me this now. What's halacha? Eino chayev elo chatas achas. he is chayev one chatas. Because this whole entire time, it was considered one halan. The entire concept of Shabbos was hidden. And therefore, every single malacha he did was all under the category of kol malacha lo sasu, right? That you're not allowed to do, don't do malacha. It was all categorized as don't do malacha, and it's one lapse, not in an individual malacha, but in the general rule of Shabbos. So it's not that, oh, I didn't know that Zoreya was a problem, that Chorish was a problem. I didn't know that Shabbos was a thing. So that's one helem, and therefore he's only chayav one chatas when it is known to him. Right? The Rashi over here quotes a Gemara later on. He says that Yelif Shmir Achas Shabbos was Harbei, Shmir Lechol Shabbos was Shabbos. That we're going to learn that there could be one Shmira for many Shabbosos, Vishmira L'chol Shabbos V'Shabbos. Let's continue first. Back to the Mishnah. Hayodeya Iker Shabbos, somebody who knows about the concept of Shabbos, the Asa Malachos Harbei, and he did many Malachos, V'Shabbosos Harbei, on many Shabbosos. Chayiv al kol, and we're this is the shogeg. Chayiv al kol Shabbos v'Shabbos. So somebody he knew. This is a normal person, a little bit less of a normal situation. A person knew it was Shabbos. He knew the concept of Shabbos, but he didn't realize that it was Shabbos, and this happened a bunch of times. So, I'll give an extreme scenario that can make it work very nicely, right? He was stranded on an island, and he thought he came on one day, and it was a different day. So now, he violated Shabbos, that case is going to be a little bit complicated once we get to the Rishonim. But let's just say that for now. So, he violated Shabbos many times on many Shabbosos, he knew the halacha of Shabbos. This is Beshogeg. He just didn't know that it was Shabbos, and this happened a bunch of times. So the halacha is Chayiv al kol Shabbos v'Shabbos. Since, let's take each of those Shabbosos, he's Chayiv for one, because each Shabbos is considered one Helem, and he's not Chayiv for multiple Malachos done each Shabbos. Right, so let's say it's Shabbos, right? It's Shabbos for me, and I am it's Shabbos for everybody, right? So it's Shabbos, and I know it's Shabbos, and then I forget, and then I do Zoreya, I plant, and then I remember, oh, it's Shabbos, okay, and then I forget again, and now I do Choresh. So that's two halamos, and I violated two malachos. So I would have to bring a karma chatas for each malacha done. What we're going to see later on is the nafgamina between malachos in general, why we have a concept of malachos, 39 malachos, and we make an effort to count them and make sure they're categorized properly. And the Gemara is going to explain that the reason that's important is that every single malacha is a different karma chatas. Right. Sometimes, you know, if you're marbe shiurim, I guess, when it comes to like some other iser, let's say eating basar b'chalav or eating non kosher animal, right? So if you eat a lot of it in one helam but b'shogig, that's considered one iser and is one chatas. Over here, however, when it comes to malachos of Shabbos, each individual malacha, in theory, would be if it's not two of the same malacha, right? If I violated Zoreya two times, then that would not be right. That, if that's it's important to categorize that's only considered one chatas. If it's multiple malachos, there would be multiple chataos. However, over here, because the helam is not on a particular malacha, but the helam is on the Shabbos overall. I forgot. I didn't. It's not that I had a problem with this malacha or that malacha, but I forgot it was Shabbos. I did not know it was Shabbos, the Shabbos. So then I am going to have to. So I only have to bring one chatas for each Shabbos that this happened. Now the question that's going to result over here. This is what Rashi deals with. This massive Tosfos is gonna challenge it. Well, I guess the Nafkamina would be that case that I said, someone being on an island. But let's say that's not right. So Hayadei Shahu Shabbos Vasam Malachos Harbei. So Shelo Yadasham Malachos Halu Asuros Vasam Kama Pamin Vakama Shabbosos Chayev Al Kol Av Malacha Chatas Achas. Right. So somebody didn't know that these malachos were Asur, says Rashi. And he did many, these malachos many times. So he's chayv on each av. Vaf bishachazar v'kaflo b'kama shabbosos kula chadash kagahi. Right? If I had one general helam, one lack of awareness that Zareah was usher, so I could have done a Zareah 20 times over 20 shabbosos, and I only chayv once because for one chadash, because this is all one chadas that I did. Dehalo nodelo bein tayim. And because he didn't know, I didn't, as long as I wasn't informed in the meantime, I didn't go to a shir in the meantime and learn the Hilchos Zareah. Oh, that's a problem, and then forget again. That's the assumption here. He says, Ulainyan Shkagas Shabbos, who de ikr lememar yomim shvein tayim, havyan yadia lechalik. However, when it comes from Shabbos to Shabbos, right, from one Shabbos to another Shabbos, we say that you're chayiv, right? So let's say I didn't know a Shabbos and my calendar was off, so I didn't know from one Shabbos, I didn't know this Shabbos and the next Shabbos and the next Shabbos, three Shabbos in a row. I didn't realize it was Shabbos when it was Shabbos. So we say you have to bring one chatas for each Shabbos. So Rashi is saying over here that the ikalamera yamim shabbain time having yedia lechalik, that the in the interim, you know, between Shabbos and Shabbos, presumably you have found out that it's not Shabbos during that week, right? You went to work on Sunday or Monday or two Monday or whatever it is. You'll figure it out during that time, and so that there was an interruption in the Helam, and therefore each Shabbos is a new Helam. Right, so that's what Rashi is saying over here. L'chalik, aval inyan shagagas malachos lo amru hachid mishum hefsik yamim ein lo ledas ela im kein yashava asak levnei chachamim b'hilchos Shabbos. He says that when it comes to during the week, you're going to in between forgetting that it's Shabbos, not being aware of it's Shabbos, in between those two times, you're going to find out that it actually was. You got the incorrect day for Shabbos. It was Shabbos. However, in between violating a certain malacha, you don't necessarily learn and sit before the chacham and have a night seder or a shir and learn about Hilchos Shabbos in the interim, and therefore that wouldn't. So the yamim wouldn't be a hefsik in the helam. He says umihu b'chatas achas lo miftar al kol Shabbos tishkaga lav b'Shabbos havya. Right, but still you're going to be chayav that one chatas. Now, what Rashi is saying is that it for sure happens that you're going to learn in the interim. Now, Tosfos is going to challenge that, say that it's not so pashut that's the case, that someone would necessarily remember. And you can imagine, like what about someone on an island, right? Maybe someone on an island who's there three Shabbos in a row. So according to Rashi, yeah, Mitaka, it would still be one Helam, right? Because... yeah, in this strange situation, he's on an island. He's there for 3 weeks, and he got the date. He got there. You know, he got all the dates wrong. Though it's going to seem from Tosos that it could be that halacha imposes the hefsik on you, even though it's not based on there actually being a yedia, but that for some reason the Torah halacha would impose it on you, so that's a part of the discussion in this long talk. So I didn't get to read the whole thing thoroughly. Okay, so now we have let's take the last line of the Amud. So somebody who knows that it's Shabbos, and he did many malachos on many Shabbosos. So this one, we say, chayiv av malacha v'malacha. He's chayiv for every single av malacha. Rashi up here says, av malacha denakat le mute toldos. Says that's to exclude toldos, right? Dehu adin la toldos, for sure it's the halacha for toldos also. Yes, to clarify, a tolda, there are many areas of halacha that have avos and toldos, but they're not always the same. The halacha ramifications. So over here, when it comes to an av malacha and a tolda malacha, there are 39 av malachos, and there are other things that are also aser midiraisa to do, but they are all subcategories of the avos, and they're categorized with avos. And the major nafkamina between an av and a tolda is that these 39 categories are categories that are separate malachos. However, if somebody does two different av malachos, right, Zoreya and Choresh, that is two separate Isurim. That is two separate Chataos. However, if somebody does two toldos from one av, right, so let's say when it comes to Choresh, Choresh is like plowing the ground to loosen the soil and make it better for planting. Now, let's say somebody violates a tolda of it. For example, pouring water on the ground to soften the ground, and also removing stones and twigs from the ground to make the ground better for planting. So those are both asur midiraisa, both are toldos, but if you do both of those both are subcategories of choresh, and therefore it's only one chatas. And similarly, if somebody plowed the ground and did one of those things, if you do an av and a tolda, or two toldos from the same av, that's one chatas. Two different avos are two chatos. So when it says you're chayiv for every av, it doesn't mean that if you do a tolda, you're not chayiv, but it's just trying to get the larger number of each av, and if you did a tolda with an av, or two toldos, then that would only be one chatos. But again, if you do one tolda from Choresh, and one tolda of Zoreya, and one tolda of Kotzer, that's three chatos. Assuming that the helem was on each of those things, and that the helem wasn't on Shabbos in general. In the last case, ha'osem malachos harbe me'ein malacha achas, and if somebody does many malachos that are of one type of malacha, me'ein malacha achas eino chayv elachatas achas. Right. So this would seem to be what we were saying about toldos. Right. Rashi says over here. Right, and that's what we just spoke about outside. Okay, so now the Gemara up until the two dots where it says Rav and Shmuel is going to try to understand the term klal gadol. What does that mean? What are the implications of that? So my Tana klal gadol, my time a Tana klal gadol. Why does it teach klal gadol? Ilemad mishum de kave lemisne od klal acher. Maybe you're going to tell me this is called a klal gadol because later on daf ayin hey amud bey says Rashi. There's a mission over there that's going to be talking about certain measurements of something, a certain quality of something. If it's going to be usher to carry on Shabbos, now that mission is going to have a klal. So maybe over here, the previous Mishnah, the Mishnah we just did, is klal gadol, as opposed to later on, which is just a klal. Right? So maybe that's why Mishnah dekavi lemisne od klal acher. We're going to learn another klal, and that one is going to be it has going to be fewer word things in it, fewer categories, Rashi says. Right? The common of a perikim velo klal bo ela beis dvarim. That's going to only have two dvarim. Kol hechsher lahatznea v'chol sheinu kasher lahatznea v'kan klal yoser mishum hachi kari lehu gadol. Right, that we have over here we have a more complex klal with more categories, at least, right, four different things and a lot of discussion that comes out of it. So this is a klal gadol compared to the klal later on. So maybe that's what we're saying. But we're going to have to see if this is something that that runs through to other areas in halacha and mishnayis, really, where it refers to certain klalim as klal gadol. So od klal acher. So tana klal gadol v'gabe shviis nami mishum dekave lemisni od klal acher. Tana klal gadol, and also in shviis by hilchos shmita, we are. It tells us it begins the mishnah with klal gadol. So maybe that's also because later on in Maseches Shviyas we're going to see another area that another Mishnah that starts with a klal. So maybe that's a good theory, right? Where does it say klal gadol? If we have another Mishnah later on that's going to have klal acher, and this one is a more complex, detailed klal. So we'll start with klal gadol. Maybe that's good. That's a little bit hard to say. V'hogabe meiser diktani klal acher v'lotani klal gadol. But regarding meiser, we have a mission that says klal acher, and the first one didn't say klal gadol. So if you want to tell me that whenever we have the term klal gadol is used in a mishnah, when we're going to have another mishnah later on with another klal that's a little bit smaller, so then in Meiser, in Hilchos Meiseros, we should have, right, where we do have a Mishnah that says, or a Mishnah that says klal, and then another one that says klal acher, then the first one should say klal gadol. But that it doesn't. And that makes it hard for us to see that this is an explanation for why it's called klal gadol. Amar Rav Yossi, we're going to have two more attempts to understand this meaning of the implications of klal gadol. So klal gadol, lotani klal gadol. So Amar Rav Yossi Baravin, Shabbos v'shviyis de isbehu avos v'toldos tana gadol. Meiser delis be avos v'toldos lotana klal gadol.
I missed it.
You miss what? So, lotana klal gadol. Okay. Yeah. So maybe klal gadol is a term that's used for mishnayos that have avos and toldos, and shviyas also. When it comes to shmita, there are avos and toldos, and ma'aser there are not. So that's also going to be a little bit challenging. At least according to Bar Kapara. Well, the Bar Kapara, the tani klal gadol meiser, my avos and my toldos, ika. Right? So if that's true, that's going to be a little bit hard to suggest, because Bar Kapara has his own version of our Mishnah, the Tosefta. And Rashi says over here, v'la Bar Kapara, the tani b'tosefta, di day, b'meiser, my avos, v'chule. Right? So Bar Kapara had Tosefta. Bar Kapara is a Talmud of Rebbe. And Tosefta is a collection of braisos that are typically attributed to Bar Kapara and Rabbi Hoshaya. And Rabbi Chia also is a ton of braisos. So in his Tosefta, he had the words klal gadol here. So even though our mission doesn't have klal gadol, but if you're going to tell me that what klal gadol means is that there's avos and toldos, that doesn't really make so much sense, because Bar Kapara used the term klal gadol for meiser. Granted, our Mishnah in Shas doesn't have that term for meiser, but Bar Kapara's did, and if klal gadol means avos and toldos, that wouldn't make sense for meiser, because there aren't avos and toldos. So, Ubakar and Titanic called Godol, but Meister, my Avos, my Todosika. Ella, love, Hainu Taima, Godol, Onchel, Shel Shabbos, Yosemi, Shel Shvias. Maybe this is what it means. What does it mean, Klal Godol? That this is a Klal that it, of an area of Halacha that is greater than other areas of Halacha, due to a greater likelihood of liability, as we'll see. Right? Isn't this what it means? Hainu, time out. Godol onshel shel Shabbos, yosher mishel shviyas. that the onesh of Shabbos is greater than the onesh of Shvius. Now, when it says the punishment, it doesn't mean, I mean, it's true, the punishment of it is greater when it's skila, but what it means is that the susceptibility to punishment is greater by Shabbos than Shvius. De'ilu Shabbos isa bein betalosh bein b'mechubar. Because on Shabbos, you can violate Shabbos with things that are attached to the ground or detached, attached to the ground or detached, right? There's certain malachos, choresh, zoreya, kotzer, which are things that are attached to the ground. And then you have things that are ma'amer, dush, zore, borer, tochein, merakeid, lush, ofe. You have tons of malachos that are things that are detached from the ground. By ve'ilu shvius betalush, betalush lisa b'mechubar isa. But when it comes to shvius, the surim by shvius are only thing, or for the most part, at least midaraisa, are only things that are attached to the ground, right? Do not water this tree. Do not water this garden. But not things that are detached. So therefore, Shabbos has great susceptibility to chilul and then onesh. Therefore, we call it klal gadol. And Shvius also, by the way, it's also pretty severe compared to others. And therefore, it also gets klal gadol, right? V'gadol onesh shel Shvius yosem min ha-meiser. And the violation of Shvius is greater susceptibility than meiser. De'ilu Shvius isa bein b'maychel adam bein b'maychel behema. Because Shvius applies, right, when you're not allowed to do things for the things, fruits, vegetables, grains attached to the ground, whether it's animal food or human food. And at least midoraisa, when it comes to animal, when it comes to the iser, or the obligation of meiser, the iser to eat from, have to take from tevel, that is only for human food, not for animal food. Therefore, really, it's only for, it's actually a machlokas in the Rishonim. But if it's for, so the psukim speak explicitly about tefua and yitzar. There are really three categories, which are grain, wine, and olives, right? Or grain, grapes, and olives, which produce oil, wine, and the five species of grain. So those are the things that are chayiv midyaraisa. It's actually machlokas, I think, Rashi and Rambam about the status of fruits, but vegetables are definitely midrabanan. I think it's the Rambam who says vegetables are midrabanan and fruits are midraisa, and Rashi says that fruits and vegetables are both midrabanan. But that part is a machlokas. But everybody agrees that the five grains and oil and wine, grapes and olives, are midraisa, and these are considered Michael Adam, and Michael Behema is not midyaraisa, and therefore you are more easily going to violate shvius than meiser, because shvius is more encompassing. It's meichel adam, meichel behema, and therefore this is gadol, and that's why we say klal gadol by shvius and by Shabbos, because there's great room to violate. Just to clarify, like, you know, what these semantics, okay, like, so that's a reason to say klal gadol. We need an explanation, because there must be some ramifications, even if it doesn't mean so much to us. Like, why do we care if this is more, you're more likely to violate this than that? Why do we care? We just need an explanation. We need an explanation for klal gadol, because if we don't have that explanation, if we don't give the simple explanation that, you know, it doesn't make such a big difference, then there could be a much greater explanation that, you know, we're not explaining. Maybe klal gadol means this is a really, really important mitzvah and you should focus on this more than anything else. Who knows what the ramifications are of klal gadol are? So if we don't, even if the answer is not like so powerful, we need an answer to this question. Do you hear what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Because it seems over here, the way we're explaining this is that it's like, so why does it say klal gadol? It means that this area of halacha is more likely to, is more susceptible to violation than others, because there are more cases that are included in it. Okay, that's not such an important thing to know, seemingly. Why do I have to know that? They have to say klal gadol. But I'm saying the Gemara is focusing on figuring out what do these words klal gadol mean. That's really, really important, because if it doesn't mean what we just said it means, then perhaps it means something else. Who knows what it could possibly mean? So we need to eliminate any other possibilities by getting an answer. So even if the answer itself is like not so meaningful and powerful, as long as it's an explanation to what the words klal gadol means, now we know that it doesn't mean something else. Like it could mean theoretically, klal gadol means you have to spend all your time focusing on it, right? If you see a mission that says klal gadol, that means it's so important that it's a fundamental mitzvah of our faith, and anybody who violates it can't give aid us and doesn't get an aliyah and shul. Who knows what klal gadol might mean? So in order to eliminate all the theoretical things what it might mean, we have to find out, we need a working definition. Even if the definition is like, okay, great, so it's not so exciting, but as long as it's a working definition, which will exclude any other, you know, havaminas that you might have. Okay, that's just something that crossed my mind as trying to grapple with the significance of the semantics here. Okay. But now, a little bit of a backtrack. So, Lubar Kapara, Ditani Klal Gadol, Meiser. So why does Bar Kapara then say Klal Gadol by Meiser, right? Our Mishnah doesn't, because our Mishnah is saying, well, it's not like Shavuos and Shabbos, because it's only Meichel, it's only Meichel Adam, not Meichel Behema. And so why would we say klal gadol? But for some reason, Bar Kapara does teach klal gadol b'meiser. So why? So gadol oncho shel meiser yoser mishel peya. Because meiser is still greater than peya. Meiser has more applications than peya does. The mitzvah of peya is to leave over a corner of your field for the aniyim. Di l'meiser, because regarding meiser, isa b'te'ena v'yerek, Ve'ilupeya lesa b'teina v'yerek, because by meiser, that's right, te'ena and yerek are human food that are included, fruits and vegetables, and meiser says even though Rashi says over here, even though they're that these are derabanan, or at least yerek is midrabanan. This is where part of the discussion is with Rambam and Rashi, but b'teina v'yerek is midrabanan. Ve'ilupeya, but regarding peya, Lesa b'teina v'yerek. There is not teina and yerek. That's not included. Ditnan, as we learned in the Mishnah, klal amru b'peya. They said a klal by peya. Notice, not a klal gadol, a klal by peya. Kol shehu ochav v'nishmer v'gidul min ha'aretz v'likutasal ka'achas machniso l'kiyum chay v'peya. Right, so these are five categories that we're about to mention. Right, so what the klal by peya is that anything that is eaten, that is watched, that is gedulah min haaretz, that grows from the ground, that is lekutoso achas, that is collected in one shot, umachniso lekiyum, and is brought in with intentions of it lasting and being and you know lasting, chayiv bepeya. It's obligated in peya. So we're going to explain these five categories in this klal of peya. Ochel mute, sviche, satis, vekotze. What does it mean? Ochel? Ochel is coming to exclude sviche, satis, vekotze, which Rashi just says that there are certain growths that are like for the purpose of dying and things like that, which are not for ochel, and those would be excluded from peya. Also, says the Mishnah, v'nishmar, has to be guarded. What does that mean? Says the Gemara, l'ma'ute hefker, to exclude hefker, was guarded. People don't guard hefker stuff, people guard owned stuff. So when it says nishmar, it means not hefker. V'gidule min ha'aret, that's not included in peya. V'gidule min ha'aret, has to grow from the ground, l'ma'ute k'mehin v'pitrios, which excludes truffles and mushrooms, which we discussed in Masechet Brachos, when we were talking about the bracha for these things. Shahakol, mushrooms and truffles don't grow from the ground. They grow on the ground, but they're not nourished from the ground. They're nourished from the air. So those are not included in peya. And l'kitaso akachas, l'mu'ute te'ina. And things that are gathered in one shot, that's to the exclusion of figs. Really, it's going to exclude more things as well. It's not just figs, but there are other things that are not collected in one shot Patina is one example, that they're collected over different groups and pay us only if things in one shot. Umachnisa l'kiyum l'mude yerek, and things that are detached, that are brought in for the purpose of it lasting, for the intents for it to last, so that excludes a yerek, vegetables which are, right, you can check out your fridge, are not very long lasting, and therefore those are excluded from peya as well. V'il gabe meiser, but regarding meiser, tznan, klal amrug be meiser, kol shehu, ochel v'nishmar v'gidol min ha'aretz, chai v'meiser. Right, but regarding meiser, it says only three of these things, that ochel v'nishmar v'gidol min ha'aretz, that you're chai but it doesn't mention a qualification for it to be collected in one shot and something to last. Meaning, te'ina and yerek are included, right? Te'ina and yerek are included in meiser, and therefore, hilchos meiser are farther reaching than peya, and therefore, it makes sense for bar kapara to say klal gadol in comparison to that. So, Tosus over here says Labar Kapara Ditani Klal Gadol B'Meiser V'Chul. He says Nir LaRashba Da'Chirim Lo Shanu Klal Gadol B'Meiser L'Fisha Eino Gadol Mipeya Ela Midrabanan. Right. Once we explained that there's this chain that still Meiser is farther reaching than other halachas like Peyas, then why don't we say Klal Gadol by it? So the answer is that this difference of that Meiser has the more applications Meiser has than Peya is midrabanan, and our Mishnayos only say klal gadol when it's a more applicable iser, if it's only more applicable midoraisa, which is not the case over here. Okay, it's getting a little late, so we'll call it here.